Do you love dreaming, brainstorming, and making big plans, but then get completely stuck when it's time to actually do the thing? As the year wraps up, it's easy to look back at 2024 and feel disappointed and maybe even somewhat guilty over all the things you meant to do but didn't quite get to. Friend, you are not alone. HSPs often stall out when the details become overwhelming or resistance starts creeping in. So in this episode, we'll be talking about why this happens, how procrastination might actually be protecting you, and best of all, how you can move forward without guilt, shame, or forcing yourself to push through. Listen in to learn how small, gentle steps can help you build momentum in a way that honors your unique wiring. Welcome to Grit and Grace, the podcast for highly sensitive Christian women. I'm your host, Sherry Gregory. Are you tired of the overthinking, overwhelm, and exhaustion that can come with being a highly sensitive person? Are you ready to stop worrying that something's wrong with you and start understanding and nurturing yourself as an HSP? Together, we'll build resilience, practice self-compassion, set healthy boundaries, unlock your creativity, and learn to embrace, not fight, your God-given sensitivity. Let's dig in. Hey friend, welcome back. I am so glad you could make it today. Last week, we hung out at my kitchen table, but today it's cold and rainy outside, so it's a fireplace day. I'm already halfway through a mocha, so feel free to make yourself a hot drink, grab a fluffy blanket, and curl up by the fire. Here's a funny story. When I called to order firewood last year, it was so late in the season that all they had left was what they called odds and ends. I quipped to Daniel and our kids, odds and ends sounds like Gregory firewood to me. But although all these misfit pieces of wood took more time and space to stack, let me tell you, this is the best firewood we've ever had. It's lightweight to carry, easy to start, and it burns down to very little ash. It's another reminder that different does not mean defective. Just like our HSP differences are often strengths once we rightly understand them. And today's episode is all about rightly understanding our HSP differences when it comes to making big plans but getting stuck on the details of doing. Marissa Terrell, my guest co-host, and I had a rich coaching conversation over the weekend, and we covered such good ground, I texted her afterwards to say, "So, I don't want to put you on the spot, but would you be okay if I turned today's conversation into a podcast episode?" Marissa graciously replied, "Absolutely. I feel like a lot of women could really benefit from our discussion and know that they're not alone, and how to process and move forward." When the transcript showed that I did most of the talking, I texted her and I said, "Look, I'm trying to figure out how to tell our friends who are listening. I really do let Marissa talk during most of our coaching calls." And she said, "Just tell them Marissa usually talks my head off, but today she let me lead." This whole conversation got started because Marissa asked such a great question. Here it is. All right. So how are you and what are we working on today?
Yes, I am okay. You know what? It's funny. I wanted to talk to you about something that maybe you can help me with your sage wisdom that you always have. I'm okay. Just still busy. I'm like, I can just make it to Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm good because then I'm off the rest of the year. I can relax, hopefully get back into the mode of, okay, we need to focus, Marissa, because we haven't been able to focus on what we really want to do. And then we'll start January off really good. So that's my plan. But my thing is, because you know, it's funny, my husband and I were talking about that this morning before he left. We were talking about how it's like, we'll feel really like on fire to do something, like, yeah, I'm going to do it. But then it's like, but then the next day we're not really feeling it. And it's kind of like it's ebbing and flowing for both of us. Cause you know, he's doing his thing with photography and you know, other things that he's got going on. And then, you know, with me and work. And I'm just like, what is that normal to feel, you know, and then how do you combat that? Cause I feel like it's a lot with me. I feel like he's a lot more on than I am. Glad he shared that with me this morning. Cause I'm like, okay, he feels the way that I feel. And of course I'm telling him this and we're talking. I'm just like, how can I not be in, I feel like I've been in that way for a long time now. And I'm glad I have you, cause I feel like you've helped me kind of get out of it. Cause I think it'd be way worse. But it's just, I'm like, why do I feel like that? I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, no. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, no, but I don't feel like doing anything today.
May I put on my teacher hat?
Yes, please.
Okay. I'm not going to use the exact right words, but there's this concept that I ran across in a book that I'll have to find the title and the author for you later. Okay.
Yes.
But I think the concept was so helpful to me.
Yeah.
And that is, there's two different kinds of timelines that our brains work on. Okay.
Yeah.
When we get excited about something, let's pretend that you got asked to do something
Yep.
at church or at work, and you say yes to it,
Yes.
and it's a few weeks or months down the road.
Yes.
Okay. And
Yes.
so you say yes, and you are truly excited about it, right? It feels like it's in your wheelhouse. It feels like a good match. You've kind of checked with your values. You've pulled out your values board, and you're like, yes, this is in alignment with my values.
Yeah.
It feels like a good yes. And then you get much, much closer to it. And suddenly, all of this resistance starts to come up. And it's a combination of, hey, when you said yes, your calendar was empty. There were all of these empty spots, and you were like, I will fill those spots with preparation. But then life filled those spots, or those spots actually had things in them. They just hadn't been added to the calendar yet, right? Or emergencies came up, or whatever, right? And so when the time actually comes, you're like, oh my goodness, there's all of this stuff I should have done. And, you know, if only I had known, or if I had thought to do. And then the thing you said yes to may have changed. It may have shifted to something else. It may have grown much bigger than what you originally said yes to. And the thing that this book said is, imagine that you're out on the plains of America, and you're looking out, and in the distance you see these little black creatures. And your brain might think they're ants, except we're humans, and so we know we're far away from them. So we know they're not ants. We know they're buffalo, right? And so from a distance, everything is hazy. Everything is, we can't see their eyes, we can't see their fur, we can't see their tails, we can't see any of the details. We just kind of see hazy, and from a distance, we think, you know, we kind of accurately identify them. It's only when we get up close that we see all of those nitty-gritty details, and we see that one of the buffalo may actually be charging straight at us. I find for myself this sense of saying yes to the concept, but struggling with the details. It happens over and over again. I want it done, but I do not want to actually do any of the tasks. It's the big picture, which
Okay.
is so beautiful.
Yes.
It's surrounded by mist and glowing sparkles, and
And
there's a
rainbow.
halo, and the Alleluia chorus is playing around it. And I mean, you're a visionary. You are someone who can see the future, and you're that way with your clients, right? You're like, I can see how things could be so much better for you. And
Yes.
so, in that sense, you love imagining what it will be like for them and for you
Yes.
when you're at that place.
Yes.
And here's the other problem, okay? I don't feel like doing it today, but tomorrow Sherry is going to feel like doing it, right? Tomorrow Sherry is going to be in a good mood. She's going to have gotten lots of sleep. I am just going to totally trust tomorrow
Yes.
Sherry, and today Sherry is going to do other things, right? She's going to balance a checkbook. I switch to something that feels a little bit safer, or more predictable, or at least not as agonizing. It may be boring, but it's not that unknown where it's like, gee, I thought this was going to be more fun. I thought this was going to be more fulfilling. And then there's also a concept, and I know I'm throwing a lot at you here, but there's a concept known as time
No,
optimism.
right.
And it really goes along with that whole loving the big picture concept, but struggling with the details. And
Yes.
time optimism is, this shouldn't take too long. I should be able to knock this out in no time flat. And then we feel persecuted.
Yeah.
We feel a combination of two things, I think, persecuted and defective simultaneously. Like, it shouldn't be this hard, and what's wrong with me that it's this hard,
Yeah.
right? Tell me if any of that resonated at all.
It did resonate. It does. But now I'm like, okay. Because I hear you, and I'm like, yes, you are speaking my language. All of what you said, that is exactly how I feel. And especially the last part that you just said, like, it shouldn't be this hard. And then I'm like, why is it this hard? So it's like, so now what do we do? How do we get past this all that and just do.
Yeah, that's a great question. And the answer that I know works for me
Yes.
is I have a little 5-minute rule for myself.
Okay.
And it says, I'm going to engage in this for 5 minutes. And then after 5 minutes, if everything in me, because as HSPs, we're double checking with ourselves, if everything in me says that was enough, like that's what I can do today.
Yes.
And sometimes when I engage in that 5 minutes and it sparks something, and I really do want to kind of keep on going, and that feels really, really good, but it keeps it in my mind and it keeps me from telling myself, I'm going to wait until the perfect time.
Yeah.
Now, again, as HSPs, we know that this time of year, there's all these different demands on our time. These are legitimate energy drains. These are legitimate time drains.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that I'm not accidentally ignoring what is true inside my HSP body. The term for all of this is iterating, just staying engaged with it in small ways. It's avoiding the all or nothing thinking. You get to kind of choose, and you also get to frame it for yourself. You get to frame it in terms of, I am choosing to take the rest of December off.
Yeah.
Unless something wells up within me and I'm like, yeah, let me set a little timer for 5 minutes and just kind of pet my project, right? Let me just kind of stir it a little bit
Yeah.
without any guilt, without any pressure.
Yeah.
Just know that it's there waiting for you. And because I think it's that when we're like, I should be working on it. So now let me force myself to
Yes.
do it and sandwich it between everything else. There's such a difference
Yeah.
between that obligation, guilt, shame, whatever based forcing to do something
Yeah.
versus the, I've got a half an hour. Let me go stir the pot, right? Like just think of it as kind of a stew that you can't ruin no matter what you do because it's on really, really low heat.
Okay.
And you're just going to go stir the pot and take a little taste to go, that's good stuff. Knowing it's going to be there waiting for you when you've probably seen it referred to as the holidays, DAZE,
Yes.
when the holidays is over
Yes.
and you're back to being your fuller capacity self.
Yes.
And let's also keep in mind, if my timeline is serving me correctly, the holidays were somewhat close on the heels of you having a health scare.
Yes.
And when we have a health scare and we're slowly, the first thing we might have is that joy of relief,
Yes.
but then there might also be the letdown of, wow, that was scary, or wow, that was unexpected.
Yeah, you're right. I'm glad you said that because I didn't even realize that. Because you're right. It's like I did. I kind of like was coming down off the high, and then it went slam right into holiday season with October. Like you're right. I didn't realize that. I didn't really get too much time to breathe and kind of process. Like, we have to process. That's where we're at. That's how God wired us. So as HSP,
100%.
yeah. So I'm like, okay, you're right. I didn't have time to breathe. Like 2 weeks, and then boom.
And you also are a very positive person who loves to focus on the possibilities and on growth and on forward motion.
Yeah.
And so you might be a little less likely to be intentional to be like, this was kind of hard. This was kind of scary. Let's take a little bit of time to, everything I'm reading about trauma these days,
Yeah.
the reason that trauma ends up feeling so fresh when we're triggered is that the way our brains store memories is that when something happens and we're processing it in a healthy way, it may have been a really a painful experience, but either we had help or we had support or we have the maturity and the skills. And so it's like everything gets filed away in its appropriate file folders. And in that sense, it's gone. We can access it if we need to, but it's not, just laying out.
Yeah.
The problem with trauma is it's like all of those papers are just constantly in front of us. And so the moment there's a trigger, it's as if a huge wind has stirred up and all of these things are now flying and floating everywhere. And we're wildly grabbing for them. And so the importance of taking that reflective time, and I don't mean to say that the thing you had happen was, big T traumatizing, but it was certainly a concern.
Yes.
And so when we take that time to process, you know me, I like to call it processing,
Yes.
in a very real sense, we're filing those papers away. Our brain is able to go, oh, thank you. Okay, I don't have to keep this in the forefront. I don't have to keep all this here. And so when the next big win comes through, things aren't going to be as stirred up. And you know, one of the things I've heard from so many cafe members is that when we don't have time to process, it just backs up. It backs up and it backs up and it backs up. And honestly, I think that's one of the reasons HSPs tell me they're overwhelmed. Yes, of course, our lives are busy. We have too much to do, all of that. But I think one of the number one causes of HSPs feeling overwhelmed is that they've got weeks, months, years worth of processing that's all backed up inside their heads. And they know that they work best when they're able to. Well, I can tell from your office a little bit about, you know, how you like to have things. You feel good about that office because everything is kind of in order. It's tidied up. It doesn't, you know, I look at it and I'm like, not like, oh, she's such a perfectionist. I'm like, I have this sense of order and tidiness and calm, right? And so doing that inside of our brains is part of what processing is all about.
Love that you said that. Yes, because I need to do this in here.
Yes, that is exactly, you made the connection perfectly. Yes.
Yes, because you're right. Because I don't think, you know, it's so funny. I'm so glad we're talking about this. I did not know it was going to turn to this, but I need this because actually, I just realized this is my week for therapy because we meet every 2 weeks. And I'm going to be bringing all this up because I need to, like, I love that we're talking about this, but I know this is going to be a deeper conversation with her. It's like, okay, how do I stop just letting things back up? Like, how do I start really processing things? Because you're right. I'm glad you're touching on this because I've noticed that about me. But once again, it's just something that I just shuffle to the back. And I just, like you said, because the optimism and the positivity kind of overtakes me. So I just push forward, not realizing that I need to process the trauma or whatever it is, you know, because it can be little T trauma or big T trauma. Or just processing things and not holding on to them, because I do, I feel like they're taking up a lot of bandwidth and storage in my brain. And that can also be causing the overwhelm and the anxiety that I have because I'm not processing what's going on and releasing it.
Well, and just to use a computer analogy, if I have too many windows open on Chrome, nowadays it tells me how many megabytes of memory each one is
Oh,
using. And so
dang.
that's another analogy that we can use, is that when we have all these tabs open, those are the things that need to be processed, but they are using up brain juice. As the brain is waiting, it's like we're waiting, we're waiting, we're waiting, we're waiting, and we're busy pushing through. I've seen some really interesting research that says that when we push through the kind where we're like, no pain, no gain, go big or go home, make it happen, like that kind of stuff, the body interprets that as trauma and will go into fight, flight, freeze, fawn, flock, or frenzy
Oh, girl.
if we do that too much. And if we do that without asking our bodies, are we in a state to do this? Now, obviously, when there's an emergency, our bodies will rise to the occasion. However, this time of year, everything's an emergency, right?
Of
Right?
course.
Everything's a crisis. Everything has to happen last minute. And when that becomes the new norm, when that is cascading and getting more and more and more, the body is going to go, hang on, this has been happening an awful lot. And of course, the body doesn't understand why we're doing it.
No.
The body doesn't understand, well, this is what makes the boss happy, or this is what makes the children happy, or whatever else.
Yes.
So the body is basically like, okay, we're in this perpetual state of crisis. Something must be terribly wrong. And it
Yeah.
starts to interpret that as trauma. And I was just literally before we got on, I was seeing something on Facebook I want to look up that really talked about the fact that we have to take brain breaks, that we will lose the capacity to think clearly if we're constantly going, 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 pushing, pushing, pushing. And I found that so interesting because I did a co-working session last week with one of my clients. And during the last 2 hours, I said, I'm going to think. I'm going to think through a
Yeah.
particular thing for 2025, but all I'm going to do is think. I spent 2 hours. Now, yeah, I did some typing and I did a spreadsheet and stuff like that. But mostly I was just kind of staring off into space or jotting down a few notes and even trying to figure out why was I feeling some resistance to something and did it mean something? And I came to some really important conclusions that I wouldn't have come to if I hadn't taken all that time to quotes, just think. And those conclusions are shaping the first 6 months of the new year for me.
Like I was able to really kind of zoom in, pan out in a seemingly like nobody else would see that I had gotten anything done. But I'm like, wow, that was so important. And part of what I did during those 2 hours is I pulled out my values. And I was like, how will I be able to live these out? And so coming back to values was really important, but having that time, and I wasn't able to report it to anybody as an accomplishment, right? Like I had nothing to show for it, except I knew that I did. I knew that I recalibrated and I pivoted my way of thinking about it. And I made a decision. I made a real important decision that will have a long-term impact.
Yes, which is important because you've got me on that. I'm like, yes, I'm over here looking at my board and I got my flashcards. But I'm like, yeah, we have to do it because if not, if you don't go by your values just from what you told me, then you'll be miserable. Oh, and you made me think too when you were talking earlier about like you're like, I did all this stuff and no one can really quantify it. That's what, as they call, as my husband so eloquently put it years ago, the sweat equity. You know, all the things that you do that
Yes.
aren't quantified, it's the sweat equity. So it's like, yes,
Yeah.
you are doing the work in the background and no one can put a name on it, but I'm like, no, but it all matters.
From Susan David, who is a psychologist, she said, research shows values help us access greater levels of willpower.
Ooh, I like
So
that.
this is connecting values to the question you asked me in the beginning. How do we get ourselves to do these things? That's literally the kind of stuff I was thinking about for those 2 hours. I could just feel my body calm down. And then the enthusiasm started to grow in all new ways. And it wasn't the fleeting enthusiasm. It was like, okay, let's go. Let's go. Let's build this thing. I mean, the wisdom of our bodies and the way that they are sending signals to us, because it's our bodies that cause us to procrastinate. And honestly, I don't know if I've told you this, but I see procrastination as protection sometimes. And I know we've probably been taught that it's just laziness, it's ungodly, it's a sin of sloth, it's all of these things. But I have come to get curious with my procrastination, and I'll say, what are you trying to protect me from? So that might also be a worthwhile question.
It is. And you know what? I'm so glad you brought that up because I beat myself up for so long about that, about procrastinating and about not jumping on it and doing it. And then I realized, Sherry, I kid you not, I mean, because this has been going on for years. So this is years of me studying myself. And I've noticed whenever I felt really hesitant about doing something and I was like, nah, and it was always resistance. And it was good stuff to me, I thought. Then next thing I know, it'd be like a couple months later and either something would change, or like that relationship would go away, or something, because I'm different things. And I'm like, that's why I had resistance. And it was a protection. It really was. And it's just something that was just preventing me from doing whatever it was, or being friends with that person or whatever. And so now I kind of embrace it because I'm like, oh,
Good.
this is okay. This is that same feeling. I'm feeling the resistance. There's a reason why I'm not able to move forward in whatever it is. I'm like, there's a reason I just don't. But what I need to get better about though is maybe sitting with God and asking Him, like you said, or asking body that I don't do. I need to do that.
So this is really important, and I love that we're having this conversation. I think there are two different scenarios that can feel very similar because we weren't taught to discern between them. One of them, let's call it protection, that sense of protection. The HSP term for that is the pause to check instinct, where everybody else is just going pell-mell forward. HSPs are pausing and we're looking around. Okay, so there's that protection, there's that pause to check. And then we're describing here as resistance, and that is going to be what I'm going to refer to as garden variety discomfort. And we start to feel discomfort, and we're like, I don't know how to do this. I've never done it before. I'm not good at it. I mean, years ago, I can still remember driving around the parking lot of Safeway in circles because I was like, I hate being so bad at book proposals. This is dumb. This is stupid. I hate it. And what I hated was that feeling of discomfort. I hated that I didn't know how to do it well and that I was going to have to try and try again and try again again. I hated that I was going to go from terrible to really bad to mediocre to a little better than mediocre to kind of okay to kind of good. I just wanted to be superb. I just did. I didn't want to have to go through all those stupid phases especially since I'm not a spring chicken. I don't have a lot of time. I ain't got time for all that.
Yeah, we just get to it. Just boom. Yeah. Yes.
There is a distinct difference between a Holy Spirit check in the spirit that says the timing isn't right right now. Either you're too tired or there are circumstances that will be revealed to you and you'll understand.
Yeah.
Versus, I don't want to do something I'm bad at. I'm going to go do something I'm better at.
Yes.
And I think that's such an important distinction to notice. We need support. We need our cheerleaders to be cheering us on. We need to be supporting ourselves to say, hey, this is going to be hard. This is vulnerable. I don't like feeling vulnerable. I don't like doing something I'm not really great at and finding out I might have to do it again.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And at the same time, this is where we can draw on other strengths. Okay, I may not be great at this one aspect of it, but I'm pretty good at. And you can pull out your values. So I'm going to mitigate. I think that's what I'm trying to say here. I'm going to mitigate the discomfort. Mm. I'm going to notice the discomfort and be like, okay, this is my not favorite part. So now can I surround it with things that I'm good at, with things I do enjoy? So sometimes we promise ourselves a reward at the end.
Yes.
And sometimes we tell our people, this is what I need to hear from you when I get done. I really need you to wave pom-poms for me. Like literally, here they are. Please wave them or whatever it might be. Kathy calls it habit pairing, where you pair this thing that's going to be more uncomfortable for you with something that is a go-to that feels good.
Yes.
And so that those things get used to going together. And the thing that we do know, under the right circumstances, we know that the more often you tap in and do a little bit of that uncomfortable thing,
yes,
that's the definition of building resilience. You do it, and the only measure of success is that you did it. It's not, is it perfect? Does everybody love it? The only measure of success is that you did it.
Yes.
And you put the check mark by it. And that has right there, that builds resilience.
Yes. Oh, that's so powerful. I love that. And you know what? You're right. I cannot remember this lady, but it was like a month ago. And she literally said what you were saying about how, but she said it in a different way. I mean, not a different way, but just in a different context. But she was just saying, like, you know, say if you're really nervous or scared about going to the doctor, she was like, so, you know, make the doctor's appointment, you know, you need to go. So make, you know, doctor or the dentist appointment, right? But then put, like you said, put something behind it that's fun. So she's like, okay, yeah, you go to the dentist sucks, but then make sure afterwards you go and get yourself some ice cream, or you, like you said, or you go buy your shoes, or you go for a walk.
A massage.
Yes. Yeah, yes. It's something that brings you joy. And that way, you know, like, it kind of like you were saying, like, it softens the blow a little bit. And it was funny. And I shared that with my husband because he had an appointment. I forgot it was an appointment for something, and he wasn't that excited about it. And I was like, well, I just listened to this podcast. This lady was saying that if you couple it with something that's fun, it kind of makes you look forward to it in a way, because you're like, okay, I know I gotta go to the doctor, but afterwards I get to do this. He's done it.
Nice.
I know.
Nice.
So it works.
Yeah,
it works.
And I'm so excited that we're having this conversation. I'm going to transcribe the whole thing, because it's so
when I wrote it down, I was like, go back and listen. I mean, all of this was fantastic. I'm like, this is the one. And sorry, I did not know we were going to go here today, but I needed this.
I do too. This is great, my friend.
But now that we've had this conversation, I'm like, okay, so I have to make sure when these feelings arise, is it action or is it resistance?
Yes.
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 And then go forward once I find out what the answer is.
I love it. I love it.
I feel better now. I'm like, okay, now I know I'm not crazy and this is normal to feel this way.
100%.
Like you said, which one is it?
Yeah. Well, and I feel like this time of year, the things that we haven't gotten done, they loom large because we're reflecting on the year and we're either sending out cards or we're receiving cards. And so, of course, we're seeing other people's highlight reels. I graduated from here and I sold 10,000 of this and my child is this. And, you know, and we're like, oh, I thought about this, but I haven't gotten very far with it. I'm thinking of myself here. Like, I mean, Marissa, you're talking to somebody whose agent has been waiting 3 years for a book proposal. And yet I had something happen this last month and I shared it with her and she's like, girl, this may be the reason that you've needed to wait this long. It's that dance of, I want to know when I am needing to lean into the discomfort a little bit more while also being mindful of God's timing, which often includes so much protection that we don't know about in the moment.
Thank you for being vulnerable this morning. Because I'm thinking like, oh, Sherry's got all her stuff together. Everything that she does it. And I'm like, why am I not like that? And you're like, no, no, girl, I'm just like you.
Yep. 100%. 100%. All I have is a little bit more experience under my belt. And that experience does give me the assurance of, if I do this uncomfortable thing, I'm going to be so glad I did. I'm going to be so glad. Yeah. And I've also learned this is where we need a team around us holding us up. And I'm so excited that you're going to have this conversation with Ryan. That's marvelous.
I know, like, I'm excited. Yes. I'm so glad we had this conversation. So now I'm like, guess what? I have knowledge.
This conversation has been such a gift to me, my friend.
You may have noticed Marissa talking about her values board. That's one of the exercises we worked on together earlier this year. Now, if you might be interested in one-to-one coaching with me, check out the show notes for links to my HSP coaching and writing coaching. And if you're a member of the Sensitive and Strong Community Cafe, take a look in the right beside you area for the unedited video of today's episode, complete with personal stories and examples. And remember, as a cafe member, you get 30 minutes of free one-to-one coaching for every quarter of membership in the cafe. Thank you for listening to Grit and Grace, the podcast for highly sensitive Christian women. I hope this episode leaves you feeling encouraged and equipped to thrive, especially when it comes to making big plans and following through on the details of doing. Be sure to follow in your favorite podcast app and share this episode with a friend. If you're brand new to the whole HSP concept, come take the Am I a Highly Sensitive Person quiz. You'll find that link in the show notes. And remember, God created you sensitive. In Christ, you are always strong. Mm-hmm.